destiny is at your doorstep. The wave of the future originated in the ancient past. From Atlantis to Egypt and beyond, this sacred knowledge was passed in secret, not to be revealed until the world was ready. That time is now. Now is the time for you to know your destiny.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Robert Lee Camp Mr. Destiny Show. Hope you're having a great day today. I have a really fun show planned for you, everybody, tonight. So welcome. Hope you're doing well. For those of you who might be new, every night I give a little talk in the beginning, or I have a guest sometimes. And after that, around 7:30 Pacific time, we open up the phone lines. And you can call in and ask me questions that I can help you with by using the system of the science of the cards, which I use on this show, which I've written books about. You can go to my website if you haven't been there before. It's called Seven Thunders, the number seven and the word thunders, as in thunderstorms, thunders.com. And you can actually get a free destiny reading there and find out more about the system. You can get actually four different kinds of free readings there to give you a sample of what the system has in store. Also lots of free information and lots of connections there. The system that we use is based on really, at its very root, it's really like astrology. It's mathematical. It's a fixed system. We don't just shuffle cards randomly. Your card for your life is determined by your birthday. And there are cards for every month of your life, also determined by your birthday, that tell us the way your fate will unfold in your life. It's an amazing system. The accuracy is so stunning that it actually scares people, certainly shocks people from time to time. I get emails frequently about people sharing experiences they've had. But not only do the prediction cards really show accuracy, but the birth card themselves, the people's birth card, which identifies personality traits and characteristics, is stunningly accurate. And the relationship analysis between birthdays is just the best there is. It's better than anything out there for astrology. I would put one of my love card reports up against any astrological relationship report out there, and I guarantee you that you will find it more accurate, more meaningful. Not that astrology is not good. Astrology is great, but it's just not, there is no one out there who's really gotten the art of astrology relationship readings down, as well as to the extent that this card system identifies traits between people. And as we do on every show tonight, we talk about today. Today is March 24th, and today is the Queen of Clubs Day. Yesterday, the 23rd, was King of Clubs Day. Today's Queen of Clubs. And the ruling card for today is the Three of Diamonds. So there's 12 birthdays every year that have a Queen of Clubs birth card. So it's a very common card. And it's the ruling card that really defines a lot of the differences you'll find between the Queen of Clubs people. In this case, it's a Three of Diamonds, so we would expect naturally with a three that the person would be very creative and have a strong need for self-expression, because that's what comes with a three, any three. And Three of Diamonds are no less a three than other threes. So we have some very creative people that were born today. We have the comedian Fatty Arbuckle. Now, he's very old. He's dead, right? Joseph Barbera of the Hanna-Barbera team, cartooning. We have from Bonnie and Clyde, Clyde Barrow, not necessarily creative. We have actress Laura Flynn Boyle and Allison Hannigan. We have clothing designers Tommy Hilfiger and actually there's one other one, Bob Mackey. Both. Interesting that there's two clothing designers in this list of celebrities. Then we have actress Kelly LeBrock. We have Star Jones. We have musician Nick Lowe, Steve McQueen, and Annabelle Ciora. So these people, they're all Queen of Clubs, but they have a Three of Diamonds. So you'll see that three being expressed as a creative thing. Now, also, what you don't know about a lot of these people is the Three of Diamonds can cause a fear about money, like not having enough money. There can be a sense of uncertainty. And relationships, this particular card would not have the best relationship karma because the Queen of Clubs is not so good to begin with, and the Three of Diamonds is definitely not that good relationship-wise. So people that are born this birthday would tend to have very difficult relationship stuff going on throughout their life until they really got a handle on it all. Okay, so that's for March 24th, the Aries. We're early Aries now. You'll find people that are born around the 21st to the 25th of the month, 26th, even 28th, all the way to the 29th or 30th. They're the more intense versions of their sign. So these are Aries people. You'll find people born today also very fast drivers, like Steve McQueen, like to drive fast. That's because the Queen of Clubs is a Mercury-Mars card. Mercury rules driving, Mars rules passion and energy. So we have people born today who they drive a car very energetically. Okay? So, I have a question for you, and you might want to, if you want to really participate tonight, you might want to write down a couple things that I ask. You want to ask you a couple questions. You know, my first question is, who are you? You know, who do you think you are? So, but the next question I want to ask you is, I want you to think for a moment, think about right now in your life, just take a little inventory of what's going on in your life right now and ask yourself what area or areas, like you might have one, two, three areas where you're having the most difficulty, okay, where just things aren't going well or you're having some challenges of some sort. And just take a moment to write those three areas down, like where are you experiencing the most challenge, problems, difficulty in your life right now. It could be health, it could be work, it could be relationship, and that could be relationship on a family basis or a personal level, whatever. Just make a note for a moment of what areas are really the most difficult for you right now, okay? And then as you write those down, think about who are you? Who are you? I remember hearing when I was young, reading spiritual books, you know, you have to find out who you are. That's the big thing. We have to find out, you know, somehow find out who we are. And that's our big goal in life, is to find out who we are. So, have you found who you are? Do you know who you are? So let me ask a couple questions in that regard. Are you the clothes that you wear? Like, are you your clothing? Do you think you are your clothing? If somebody stole all your clothing, would you be upset? Is there a particular piece of clothing that you really, really like that if you lost it, you'd be really upset about? Are you your car? Like, is your car a symbol for you of status? Or a symbol of how good you are as a person? Do you have a lot invested? Some people have a lot invested in their cars. You know, I know kids that out there who they drive a nice car and it's every cent of the money they make on their job just to keep that car. It's that important to them. They don't have money for anything else, just the car. But they have a nice car and they enjoy having the car. So are you your car? Are you your money? A lot of people think they are their money. A lot of people really strongly identify with their money. They think that, you know, how much money I have or how much money I earn, how much money I make in my job is who I am. So for that person, if they all of a sudden didn't have a job, or a job, they couldn't get a job that paid well, they might feel really bad. They might feel really bad, right? So the next thing, just think about it for a minute, like, are you your health? Are you your body? If your body's doing bad, are you doing bad? Just who are you? This is the question. Who are we as human beings? So if you take a look now at the list of things that you might have written down about where you're having the most problems in your life right now, I think if you look at them carefully, you'll notice that these are all areas where you are personally identified with something and is being threatened by something outside, by an external force. And, you know, some of the things in life that bother us the most are the ones that we identify with to such an extent that it's almost life or death for us to have that, to have it be a certain way. And always it's something external. Like we need somehow the external to validate who we are. So there's a process that happens in life, and it happens to us as human beings. I don't think animals have this problem or this thing, this dynamic go on, where we become, we invest our identity into things in our life. Even our mind, you know, our thoughts. A lot of people are very, very touchy about any kind of criticism of what they say or think or write. You know, some people have test phobia. Some people are afraid to speak up and say anything because they don't want to hear anybody criticize them. That's another form of where we've placed our sense of who we are, invested it in something outside of ourselves. And our society teaches this. It teaches everything. It teaches us to do this. But we do it as a natural course of events. You know, you have a baby, for example, and you give it something, and then you take it away and the child will cry. You know, there's an investment already of mine. This is a song by the Beatles, I, Me, Mine, by John Lennon. I, Me, Mine, I, Me, Mine. He's pointing to this as the entire problem here in life, is the whole I, Me, Mine, because it's not so much that, but it's the fact that we have made something that is not really real or really meaningful become that which we identify with. We have invested it, even though it will never really give us the identity that we seek. It'll never really give us that sense of satisfaction that we will want by investing so much of ourselves in it. We might get a fleeting version of it, but it will never last. There's a real problem about identifying with anything in the world, and that is that everything in the world is constantly changing. And not only that, but everything in this world has a cycle to it. Everything in this world has a beginning, a growing period, a period of blossoming and fulfillment, and then a period of decay, decline, and ending, and eventual death. So everything that we identify with, everything that we are invested in, is going to die. It's going to end someday. So what all this leads to is that the whole cause of suffering in life is the fact that we have placed our identity in things that are not really the real us. And I haven't talked about the real us yet, but there's a real us that's much, much bigger. I call it the bigger I, or the big I. The little I is us throwing our identity into things, into qualities, and everything. That's the little I. And then when we're living through the little I, we're always in fear. We're in constant fear because our security is constantly being threatened. by changes that are happening. Changes that, if we were in the big eye, would seem like marvelous, wonderful play of energies. We could sit back and witness it and enjoy it. We could sit back and just marvel in it. And the other thing is that while we're invested in things and external things, we're not having a real life. We're not living from source. We're talking about source being the big eye here. And our life is a shadow of what life can be. It's a shadow because we've invested in ourselves in a shadow. We've basically signed up to be a shadow of a person when we're living from that. You know, if you think about it, really, like any time in your life when you have felt the very best, when your life is really flowing, it's when you felt connected somehow. And things would come through you and into you from an unknown source. It wasn't something that your mind made up. Your mind didn't just generate it. It came from a place that your mind has no jurisdiction in. All the best things in life come from this place where the mind has no jurisdiction. It's unknowable. They just happen. They come as inspirations. Well, just imagine for a moment if you could live a life that was constantly inspirational. The only way to do that, though, is to unhook our identity with the things that we have identified with. Look at your life right now. Look at the problems you're experiencing. The ones that hurt you the most, the ones that give you the most cause for concern, the most fear, the most anger, the most blame. These areas are the ones where you have the deepest attachments, the deepest misplaced identity. And you don't even know it, but those are not really you. You think those are you. You may not even know how much you've invested. So the first step in this process for any of us is to identify how much we are, you know, identified with things that are transitory and things that are not really us, not real. And that one process there could take a lifetime. Okay. But when you think about it, this is all there is for us to do in this lifetime. This is all there is for us to work on. There's nothing else really worth pursuing. And everything else we're doing in life is just an attempt by us to enhance our sense of who we are by changing the external situation, by changing things around us or how much we own or who we're with or how we look or what we have, everything. If you think about it, even spirituality, even being a spiritual teacher, even doing yoga or spiritual practice can be for the ego. Even that can be really just to enhance ourselves by achieving something in the external, which is transitory and which by its very nature will end someday. So we have to be willing to question everything in our life. Or what are we really up to? Who are we really connected to? Where is our divine connection? Are we connected to the divine? We can't be connected to the divine when we're totally caught up in externalization and identity with things that are transitory and moving and changing all the time. You can't. And this is the status that we all live in. This is what we're living in these days in our society. This is the life that we lead. This is what we do as human beings. And there's no religion that's going to teach you how to break free of this. There's nothing that really you can do. There's no place you can go to join up with a group. Well, maybe you can. Maybe there's people that are teaching the higher teachings and so forth that can have transformation. But this transformation has to happen by each of us on our own. We, not alone necessarily, but we have to do the work. It's not going to be done for us by doing something. We're not going to get better by, you know, reading different books, by wearing different clothes, by wearing crystals, by practicing yoga. We're not going to get better by doing anything external. It's going to have to come through an internal process of seeing what's going on. It's the awareness. This is what's been pointed to in all the ancient books. And even in the Bible it says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is within, not without. To be looking without is to be without. And that's what we all are. We are people that are without because we're seeking everything without ourselves, outside of ourselves. Thus, we are without. Very interesting. So this talk has been inspired in me a lot by reading this book by Eckhart Tolle, a new book called The New Earth. Really powerful book. I really recommend it. He wrote his first book, The Power of Now. And I just want to recommend that everybody read some of his work, but even better that you digest it. I see people reading books, and they read it, and nothing happens in their life. It's like it didn't mean anything. When I read Eckhart Tolle's books, often I can only read a few paragraphs and I have to stop. I have to digest it. Sometimes I get an overpowering urge to sleep. I have to take a nap right away because it's so powerful. The words in the book, they so accurately portray the real truth that I have to go digest it. I can't just keep reading. I don't see how people do that, really, how they can just read words and not have those words be profoundly impactful on them. So, I recommend all of us, we need more people. We need people on the earth who are achieving enlightenment individually so that we, those who do, can help each other, can be examples of people living in happiness, can be examples of people unfettered by all the attachments to an identification with things that are not really real. We need more people who are truly free, and this is the only way to get free. Okay? So that concludes my little talk this evening. You know, every night on the show, we play some music from my CD. It's called Bhakti Rock. And what's interesting about it is that it's basically rooted in the ancient sciences of the Vedic culture, which is from India, the country India. And they have religions there, but their religions are more or less founded in the science of self-transformation. Even these chants, which are on these songs, are part of the science of personal transformation. There's a whole science branch of yoga called Bhakti Yoga, and chanting is the main tool in Bhakti Yoga. Just like in Hatha Yoga, you have the postures. In Bhakti Yoga, it's the chanting, and it's the tool for transformation. And in this age of Kali that we're in now, the age of darkness, Bhakti Yoga is considered to be, in all the ancient Indian texts, to be the fastest way to achieve enlightenment. So it's interesting, and that's what this CD was made for, was to give people a taste of chanting, but in a more modern format that would be more entertaining and more fun. So we're gonna take a break right now, and on the break we're going to play the song Om Namah Shivaya. And you guys are welcome to call in now. And when we come back, we'll be taking your calls and answering your questions using the science of the cards. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp, and that was Om Namah Shivaya. That was probably one of the most kind of rockety songs on my CD. The rest, most of them aren't quite that intense. That was supposed to be kind of a disco or a dancing song, hip-hop or whatever. Okay, we have some people waiting now, so let's talk to Heather from Ohio. Are you there, Heather?
Hi.
Hi, how are you, Heather?
I'm fine, thanks.
And is your birthday March 19th, 1961?
Yes, it is.
So you're a four diamonds and an eight of diamonds. And what's on your mind tonight? And happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you very much. Well, first of all, I went to a local store today and met, I believe, a friend of yours named Jai.
Oh, yeah.
And she says hello out in Ohio. Yeah, she says hello. She's probably listening. And she recommended that I call you. I'm just in a transition time and new to all of these things and, you know, getting stuff like dreams and visions. I guess my question is, as the changes are happening, how do you really handle the fear of leaving behind the old ways?
Well, you know, I think that as human beings, we're naturally afraid of losing anything that we already have.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a bigger part of us that has wisdom and knows what's really going on. There's a bigger part of you. Like, let's just say you have a child inside of you, for example. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the child is afraid because the child doesn't know, you know. It needs reassuring. The child within you needs reassuring. Am I going to be okay if everything changes? Right?
Yeah.
Then you have another part of you that's an adult, and the adult can say to the child, yeah, things are going to be fine. It's okay. Don't worry. You can worry if you need to, but it's not... You don't have to worry because it's all going to be okay. See?
Yeah.
So there's definitely going to be a part of you that's afraid, and that is more or less the more childlike part of you, which is a beautiful part. You don't ever want to lose it. You don't want to scare it to death. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You want to, like, hang out with yourself and, you know, hang out with that part of yourself and, you know, talk to her. Like, we're about 6 years old, get a picture of yourself out and, you know, talk to her and say, you know, Heather, you're going to be fine. I'll take care of you. Don't worry. We're going to do some fun things. It's going to be a little scary, but it's going to be also a lot of fun. And you'll find that if you do that, you'll find your fear lessens a lot.
Okay.
You'll find that you don't. And when I look, just so you know, well, what kind of changes are you intending anyway? Can you give us a little more information?
Well, just right now, I'm in California, and I was just laid off my teaching job because of our budget cuts. So I'm a single mom with, trying to support this household, and which is, you know, a small, simple household, but still. And, you know, just the spiritual path is kind of, like, pretty amazing. And as these things open up, you know, the old ways of, you know, the Baptist church just kind of go away. I don't know. It's just there's a lot of things changing.
Well, you know, isn't it just as you got exposed to all these new ideas and things, at the same time you lost your job. Isn't that an interesting coincidence?
Yes.
So, you know, I don't think that's an accident either, you know. I don't think it's an accident.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something. I'm looking at your cards for this year, okay, and this is going to be mm-hmm. one of the most fun years of your life.
I can't hear you. I'm sorry. My cell phone's going crazy. What did you say?
I said this is going to be one of the most fun years of your whole life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you don't have anything to worry about. Except that you have fear, and that's natural that you will have fear. But you'll see things are going to turn out so much better. It's like you're going to be given a whole new life.
Wow. Okay. That's exciting.
Yeah. You have, this is all meant to be for you, because your life you were living before now wasn't really a whole life.
No.
And now you're given an opportunity to have a whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So don't shortchange yourself.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you so much.
Go talk to Jai, and she'll tell you the specifics of all the cards you have that are so good this year, if you want. You know, she's good at the cards.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you for calling,
Heather.
Well,
thank you, thank you. All right.
Have a great year.
Good night. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, I think we have another young lady from Chicago on line 4 named Erin.
Yes.
Are you there, Erin?
I'm here.
And are you born on X Day in 1981?
I was.
So you're a little fighter, I bet.
Yeah, it's probably not too far off base.
I have to ask your boyfriend.
Pardon me?
I have to ask your boyfriend.
Yeah. I'm a 6 of diamonds, 10 of diamonds, as you, I'm sure you know.
Uh-huh.
This is my question. I've gone through a lot of changes this year. I used to practice law. I was an attorney. I quit this year and became an executive recruiter. And now, I'm doing well. It was executive recruiting, but my whole life, I really have felt the need to work for myself. And I've been in the process, with a very close friend of mine. She's actually, April 8th is her birthday. She's the King of Diamonds. The two of us have been friends, best friends for about 10 years. We've always known that we're going to own our own business. So we've been in the process of setting up our own executive search firm. My question for you is, what timing would be best for me, or what do the cards show for me setting up my own shop?
Okay. Well, first of all, I comment that this is a good choice. Your timing is good, too. Okay?
Pardon me?
I said this is a good choice you're making, and the timing is also good.
Okay.
Okay? So, I don't think it really matters, but I would wait till after your birthday.
Okay.
I don't think it matters all that much. I definitely see you working with your friends. I see that being very good for you. So, and you're going to have so much fun this year. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I really don't have, when I think about it, I really feel good about the choice. The timing right now, I feel like, will be sometime in May.
Are you guys looking for a date to, like, start your business? Is that what you're looking for?
Well, I just wanted to know, number one, that I mean, internally, I feel like this is the right path for me to go out on my own, but I just wanted to know that that was something that was in the cards for me to do. And then that the timing of me going out on my own, I guess, in the relatively near future was a smart move for me.
Well, haven't you already stopped your other job?
No, I haven't stopped it yet.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Okay. Got it.
And I'm doing really well.
You're doing really well at your job.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I would suggest that, yeah, I think May would be fine. I think it's a good time for you. It's all going to work out okay, but it's a little scary. There's no doubt it's a little scary. But it's going to be fine. Yeah. You should do really well, the two of you.
Great. And I also have plans, do my cards say anything about moving in the near future?
Well, not until after your birthday, but next year, yes, for sure.
Okay, yeah, it wouldn't be till after my birthday.
You know, you'll want to move. You might actually move more than once.
Yeah, that's kind of what it's looking like right now.
Yeah. So, you know, you're young, you have the ability to be flexible, and so just be willing to go with the flow and just go wherever you need to be.
That's what I want to do.
Yeah, I think you have a good handle on it. You're in a very fortunate cycle this year coming up, so you really can't make a mistake.
That's great.
I know, it's really great. It's a good sign for you, good fortune.
And then one final question. What do my cards show with me with the Ten of Hearts?
Well, what's the Ten of Hearts' birthday?
He's a Libra. I think it's October. I think he's Ten of Hearts, Eight of Spades.
Uh-huh.
I have to look in my book to figure that out. I forget.
Ten of Hearts have really... Okay. You have exceptional compatibility with that person, all right? Did you hear what I said?
Yeah, good compatibility.
Exceptional compatibility.
Uh-huh.
Exceptional compatibility, not just good. You follow me?
Uh-huh.
However, there is one slight possible problem. You know, want to know what that is?
Yeah.
Ten of Hearts can be a real problem. A lot of them are pathological liars. Okay? And you might think you're the only person in his life, and he could be having two or three relationships at the same time.
Okay.
So be very suspicious until he proves who he is, one way or the other.
Okay.
Your best bet is to be suspicious. And your best bet is not to believe anything he says until he's proven himself.
Okay,
that's just my suggestion for you.
Is there a cycle in their life where, you know, that tends to side, or is that just a lifelong thing?
That's a lifelong thing that, you know, how old is he anyway?
He's 29.
29? So, you know, by now he's probably aware of this. But see, you have to be the one that determines whether this is what he's doing now or not, see. Because if he's still doing it, then you're going to be having a relationship with a crazy person.
Would it be the first time?
Well, yeah, but you deserve more than that.
Oh, I know.
So, you know, I mean... So the cards can be helpful in this regard because the cards can tell you what the person will not tell you, you see.
Uh-huh.
Cards can tell you the truth about somebody. And it's not guaranteed, of course, that he is. There's just a strong potential for that. But there are people with these cards that are really great people. So I'm not saying that he is. I'm just saying that you should be playing the role of cautious until he proves himself out.
Right.
Compatibility you have is just incredible with him, and you know you guys would want to be together and all that. But the other thing about Ten of Hearts is like sometimes they have trouble with commitment. See,
uh-huh.
They have trouble with commitment often because they have a Jack as a karma card, and the Jack often has issues around freedom. Okay, so look for signs of that either way. And you'll be fine.
Okay.
All right, but you guys are really compatible, so that's not a problem.
Okay.
All right, Aaron. Well, I appreciate you calling and being a guest tonight.
Yeah, thanks for the help.
All right. Good luck.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Okay, we have Fatima from St. Louis. Are you there, Fatima?
Yes, I am.
How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
I'm doing well. Are you born January 8th, 1984?
January 8th, 1984, yes.
You're our youngest guest tonight.
I am? Wow.
What can
crazy.
I do?
Well, okay, I'm into the cards, and it's the first thing that's really, like, grabbed my attention out of everything that I've read. I know I'm a Six of Spades, and I'm also a Three of Hearts, and I battle with this because I realize that the Six of Spades is so so old, and then a three of hearts is like really young and playful, and then I'm serious, you know, most of the time, but then I want to play, and I have a problem with that too. I don't know. I think I get in trouble with my three of hearts, and my six of spades punishes me, and I don't know.
Well, the three of hearts can have trouble deciding what to do about love.
Yeah, it's love, work, it seems like, with everything. I'm always confused.
Well, it also, though, gives you tremendous artistic ability.
Yeah, like I'm good at everything, but this year I'm wanting to go to school and do law. And I talked to Leslie Ahmad,
who's
in New York, and she's going to do a reading for me on the 4th of April. But I know that so far this is my Jupiter year, and that I have King of Spades in, as my long-range card for my seven-year cycle, and I'm so anxious when it comes to, oh, my gosh, I have this tremendous influence. What do I write? I love to write. And or do I go to school? And you know, it's just, like, so confusing because I have a Ten of Clubs as my result card, and that promises me great things. And
well, it promises you good things, but only if you go in that direction.
And only in writing, or
yes, and you well, like you could write a book and get published this year.
I can.
Means you can't go to school.
So don't go to school.
Well, no, I'm just saying you can get published. You can write a book and get published, but you can't go to school at the same time. You got to do one or the other.
Okay. And
the cards are showing you a real beautiful potential for yourself.
Okay.
But you have to be the one that chooses it.
So writing is like the best thing for me to do right now, basically.
I don't know. Is it?
You don't know? I think it is. I love to write, but
you say you love it. Then why would you do what you love?
I guess because I'm impatient with myself. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. I have too many cards that seem influencing me right at the moment, and I don't know like which one is, you know, really pressuring me in different
ways. So you think you should go to school?
I think so. Now would be a good time for me to start, because law school is, what, like 8 years? And then...
You want to be a lawyer?
Yeah, I think I make a good lawyer. And I talked to Leslie about it, and she said, yeah. And... I don't know.
Well, you know...
See how confused I am?
It's important you have... We have a lot of different voices inside our head, you know?
Uh-huh.
One says, do this, one says, do that. Yeah. It's important that you separate the ones that are, like, where their source is. Because, like, for example, if my parents always told me, oh, I want you to do this when you grow up, that's one voice in my head, see?
Right.
So we have to really try to find what is really us, what we really love. Because doing what you love is always going to bring you more happiness and more success.
Would that be a good, like, contribution to the world? You know, because
sure.
I know I read in the Six of Spades bring a lot of contributions to the world.
Oh, you know, you're the same birthday as David Bowie and the same birthday as Elvis Presley.
I know.
No, I mean, they've made tremendous contributions to the world of art and music.
Okay.
But it's up to you. I mean, Stephen Hawking, the Einstein guy, he's your birthday too.
Einstein guy?
You know, Stephen Hawking. His name is Stephen Hawking. He's
the
guy.
I read about him too.
He's in the wheelchair. He's like a genius, like Einstein.
Oh, wow. I think I read about him on the internet when I was searching and reading, trying to find out things about myself. And I came across him, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's weird, but he's super smart.
Well, yeah, he's like, he can't even move a muscle of his body now. He's almost dead. But he, even after he got this illness, he's contributed incredible things to the world of science.
Right.
And Wolfgang Puck, the famous chef, Wolfgang Puck. He's your birthday, too.
So you got the three apart, too?
So see, you have within you the capacity to do something great in this lifetime, but you have to decide what that great is going to be.
Okay. I don't know how to decide, but between writing and the ball thing, it's just... Is this my most confusing year or something?
I don't think so.
No? I don't know. Because my mind's everywhere. Maybe it's because I'm just nervous that I got through on this line and I can talk to you.
And maybe you're meant to do like a couple things at the same time. Maybe you're meant to, maybe you're meant to do two things at the same time.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. You can pull it off a little bit, you know?
Okay, that sounds good.
You certainly know how to
multitask. I can, yeah, multitask.
I'm sure you're good at that.
Okay. I have one more question, though.
Okay.
I look at my age 31, and I know that Ace of Spades and Nine of Spades and Saturn is really bad, right? Am I going to, like, die or something that year?
Well, did David Bowie die when he was 31?
Huh?
Did David Bowie die when he was 31?
No.
Did Elvis Presley die when he was 31?
I don't know. I think he died young, though.
No, he wasn't that young.
No, not that young.
And see, you'll only die young if you really abuse your health.
Right.
If you really do a lot of drugs or, you know, eat too much or, you know, smoke or do something that's really bad for your body, because you can't get away with it being a Six of Spades.
Right. I punish myself with everything. I don't smoke and I don't drink. I don't do anything.
Yeah, and Elvis Presley,
I have a fear.
Elvis Presley abused his body terribly before he died.
Oh, okay.
That's the only reason he died young. David Bowie's doing great.
Okay. But I don't have to worry about 31.
No, you don't have to worry about that.
If I don't.
You might have a little. Go and research the lives of other people with your birthday and see what happened to them when they were 31. It might be really helpful for you.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. It'd be a fun thing to research and look up.
Okay. That sounds cool.
All right, Fatima, it's great to talk to you.
Thanks for talking to me.
Thanks for being a guest tonight, and, you know, you're going to have a fun year. I suggest you consider writing just to see what happens. But it's
okay.
You can go be an attorney if you want. I don't care.
Maybe I want that later on in life, I think. I don't picture it in my head as me being a young lawyer. It's like an older person as a lawyer. But I do have a book that I've started and I haven't finished, and I need to.
It's interesting how sixes want to be lawyers. The last caller was Six of Diamonds. She was a lawyer. And she just quit. She's going to quit being a lawyer because sixes like to fight. A lot of them like to fight, and lawyers are fighters. They're paid fighters.
They like to fight. I don't know. I do like to fight. I like to argue, and I like winning. But then I get this ego thing, and it's like, I don't know.
There
and
it is.
I feel bad about myself because my ego is, like, tremendous when I win any argument.
Like winning means everything.
But then I punish myself because it doesn't feel right in my soul that I won.
Oh, you feel guilty,
you know?
Later?
Yeah, I feel really guilty later, and I beat myself up for it. Then I try to figure out how I damaged the other person. I know that I'm going to get karma for it, and I'll sit and wait for it.
You're just afraid of the karma.
I am.
Yeah. Your guilt is because you're thinking... See, guilt is like if I punish myself... Maybe God won't punish me.
I do that a lot. I do ask myself that.
Yeah. But you're only feeling guilty so that you punish yourself, hoping that God won't punish you, too, for being a bad little girl.
I get punished both times, regardless.
Not being a bad girl.
Okay. Okay, now, when I write about something, though, right, I'm writing about my experience as a kid. It wasn't as beautiful as people would think. Like, I lived in so many different foster homes, and I had really negative experiences, and I think I'm dealing with that now. and I write it, if I write about it, I think I can relate to other people's, you know, problems that they have now, and I think it'll be a really good book because I think I came out positive and searching for the right thing instead of, you know, running to drugs and whatever else.
Yeah, yeah. Your story might be very inspirational. It might be really, people might really love it. Worth trying.
I'll give it a try.
Yeah.
I don't want to take up all the time. I think I'm going to be punished for that, so.
I can handle myself on this end, so keep for calling. Call again, though. You're welcome to call again.
Okay. If it ends every Monday, right?
Yeah, let us know when you decide what to do.
Okay, and then I'll just call you when I need a publisher. Then, you know, you'll tell me the right people to go through, right?
To do what now?
To get my book published.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I can just call you.
You absolutely can. I help anybody who's publishing a book. I just share with them what I know, you know.
Okay.
So I'd be happy to help you.
All right. Thanks,
all right.
Robert.
Thanks for calling tonight.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was fun. We're going to take a short break. We do have lines open. We do have one line taken. Line two is taken, but we have other lines open. We're going to take another break. We're going to listen to another chant. This one is called Krishna, Hare Krishna, and I hope you love it. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back, everybody. That was Krishna Hare Krishna from my CD, Bhakti Rock. Hope you enjoyed it. We have Kelly waiting patiently on line two. Are you there, Kelly? Hello, is anybody there?
Hi. My name is not Kelly.
Oh, what is your name?
I'm Aubrey.
Aubrey. Wow.
Hi.
I guess Seth got that wrong.
That's okay.
Let's see if you got your birthday right. What's your birthday, Aubrey?
April 11th, 1979.
Oh, you're somebody else altogether. Okay.
Okay.
April 11th, 1979. Okay, great. How are you tonight?
I'm great. I'm fantastic.
You got a birthday coming up soon?
Yes, I do.
So, what can I do for you this evening?
Hang on, let me just... I'm at Jive House in Ojai, and...
Oh, you are?
Yes. And I'm calling because I feel led by the Spirit to do so.
I see. The Spirit has led you to my door.
Yes.
Okay. That's about the sum of it, eh?
Yes.
Okay.
Something big has just happened in my life, though.
What happened?
I met somebody very special.
Oh, well, good.
Of course.
A person's birthday.
It's November 15th.
Okay.
Do you have his birthday? Was he on his birthday? 1980. Do you need to know where he was born?
No, I do not, actually.
Okay, that's fine then.
So, what do you think? You think this is going to be like a really great relationship?
Feels like it.
Yeah.
But I'm, you know, have fears.
How much do you know about him? How much do you know about him? And his, like, what's his history? Do you know his history at all?
None of history. Like, facts about his past?
Yeah, like his past relationships.
A little.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I know that he was really in love and had his heart broken.
Uh-huh. Did his girlfriend cheat on him?
I don't know that.
Oh, okay. I just thought you might know. Okay.
Why?
Well, because his birthday identifies him as a Five of Clubs. And Five of Clubs, he's also a Seven of Hearts. And both of those birthdays have a fair amount of relationship stuff to work on.
Right.
So there's things about Five of Clubs that actually make it nearly impossible for them to sustain a committed relationship.
Okay.
Now, what happens is, when you're younger, is sometimes you don't act it out, but you attract people that act it out for you. Until you realize that it's you.
Ah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So, like, a Five of Clubs is considered one of the most unmarriageable cards in the whole deck. They're considered to be a card that, you know, has such difficulty with, they have such a strong desire for freedom that it usually precludes having anything of a long-term committed nature. That's typical Five of Clubs, okay?
Yeah, well, I do know that he never ever wants to get married.
Okay,
but I feel that way too. I'm coming out of a divorce, and this is a huge surprise to me that I am in love.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I think love is so wonderful. When did you meet him, by the way?
A month ago?
So...
Yeah.
So, like...
it's one of those things that has just happened, and it makes no sense to my mind, and I have no control over it.
Okay, so let me just give you a little clue here, okay?
Okay.
You met him in your Neptune period of the year.
Okay.
Now, Jai should tell you something about that. Anybody
you
meet when we're in Neptune period, we're on drugs for 52 days.
Really?
Yeah, we see everything the way we want it to be. We don't see it the way it really is. We see it the way we would want it to be. And we actually generally are completely blind to what it really is.
Wow.
And you will not know anything about this man until at least 2 weeks after your birthday.
Oh, my God. Okay. Thanks for the warning.
Well, you know.
Really?
You know, it can be the most romantic thing. The Neptune period can have, you can have just so much fun in Neptune. It's like going to the world's best movie, you know, like a movie that's so great you get into it, but it's not real.
Are you sure I'm not creating this? Because I'm realizing that I'm dreaming and I'm the dreamer.
Yeah, you're dreaming. You're on the dream period. It starts for you every year on February the 18th. And it goes until your birthday, okay?
Oh, my God. I met him February 18th.
That's
crazy.
That's pretty spooky, actually.
Whoa.
So, you know, and his card is right there, by the way. You have a seven of hearts right now, and that's his ruling card. He's a five of clubs, seven of hearts. And there he is. His card is right there.
And I'm a seven of hearts where?
No, you have a seven of hearts in your cards right now in the Neptune period.
And that's him.
That's his card.
Yeah.
And you know, you're going to, I just want to warn you, okay?
Okay.
It may not happen, but there's a good possibility that after your birthday, you're going to have like a kind of a rude awakening.
Okay.
You know, so be prepared because...
With him.
Yeah, because you don't really know him. All you see is what you want him to be right now.
Yeah.
Can't help it. It's not your fault.
I'm so prone to that, too. That's my weakness.
And you might be. I mean, and I think you saying that you don't want to get married, I think that's really part of the fantasy. To be honest, I think you really do want to get married. I think you really do want to have a great relationship. But you may not feel that way right now because you just got divorced, right?
No, you're right, actually.
And you had a hard divorce. It wasn't any fun, was
yeah.
it?
Yeah, no.
And that's the reason you're saying that. You're going to learn later that wasn't the reason, that's not the real truth about you, that you never want to have a great relationship again, a long-term committed relationship. You're definitely going to want that. You know? So, you know... Life is wonderful. We learn as we go, and this is a great time for you to just, I think you should enjoy this relationship, but don't ever invest anything long-term into something that happens in Neptune.
Okay. Oh, I'm so glad I called you.
It's great, like people will often go on vacation in Neptune and meet somebody like away,
yeah.
like in a, they'll meet somebody like while they're on vacation in a foreign country, you know, and...
Very
have a
dangerous.
Great affair with them, they'll have sex, and, you know, it'll be wonderful.
Yeah,
then they come home and they realize, okay, that was fun, and that wasn't really real, but it was fun. It was like going to a movie, you know.
Yeah, but aren't we the directors of this movie?
Yes, we are, but when your own fantasies are so strong right now, okay, you're not seeing the truth. You're actually blind to things that you need to know.
Right.
To write your script the way you want to write it. You're absolutely blind at the moment.
You're absolutely right.
And it's a great little, it's like doing a really good drug, you know?
Yeah.
Everything's looking really rosy right now.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But there's so much that you're not even looking at about him. You're actually ignoring things. I think your friends will probably tell you. Some of your friends that are not on drugs right now, like you are, can probably look at the situation and go, hey, you should be looking out for this particular thing here. There's something about this guy that's a little fishy. So, I'm really glad you called, and say hi to Jai for me.
I will.
And, you know, it's great. You're the second person from Ojai tonight. Aubrey, let's see, who else called?
Oh.
Somebody else called.
Who?
who was it? Oh, Heather. She was our first caller tonight. And she just
Heather
met
Rose.
Jai. She just met Jai, like, in the last few days. And she called.
Oh, wow.
So, like, this is like an Ojai night tonight.
Okay, right. So we're on a roll. Come on, Ojai, pick up them phones.
Yeah, so see now you're on drugs, so don't believe anything you see, and especially don't believe what you think.
Oh gosh. Okay.
Have fun, but don't make any serious commitments. Okay, and you'll be fine.
All right.
Well
thank you very much. I'm very glad I called, and I will continue to have fun until after my birthday.
You know, you can have fun after that, too, but just be careful about putting too much of yourself into something that may not actually be real.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Don't invest too much. You know, they say that the old thing about Neptune is don't make any important decisions when you're in Neptune. You know, don't make any really important, like, and giving your heart to somebody is a very important decision. It has consequences, you know?
Yeah.
If you give your heart to the wrong person, well, you can't just take it back. You know, it's very, very painful. I mean, it's okay. I mean, no one ever died. Well, people have killed themselves over love, but no one ever really died over love. You know, love can't really kill you.
That's not true.
It can make you feel like dying, but, you know.
People have died.
Well, yeah.
With broken hearts.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. It can, but it's really, that's because they had some kind of an emotional illness inside, you know, because no one should die from a broken heart, really, okay?
Yes, they have.
Old
married couples do all the time. My grandpa did.
People that die of broken hearts, though, are already sick emotionally. They're not well people. That's my point. You don't die of a broken heart if you're already healthy. This won't happen to you.
Okay, I get your point. I'm not going to die. No, I'm not. I'm going to learn something great.
You got all kinds of fun to look forward to.
Yeah, I'm just enjoying the party.
Absolutely. It's a great party. It's a great movie. You know the movie's going to end at a certain time.
Which is kind of a relief, actually. You know, that's a huge relief. Big weight just lifted.
Yeah, because now you can just enjoy what's there. It's really, what you're experiencing right now is really more of your own dream. You're seeing your own dreams. That's what's cool about it. You're actually seeing your own dreams right now. This relationship, you may not know anything about him, but you're getting a chance to see what your real dreams are all about. And that's kind of cool when you think about it.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting to see
that is cool.
Like what really turns you on. So that you can take that away from with you from this relationship, no matter what happens, and you'll know what things really float your boat.
Okay.
That's valuable information.
Yes, it is. It is very valuable.
You know, one thing I would do if I were you.
Be careful who I give my heart to.
You have a unique opportunity here. And I would, I'm only saying this from experience, but, because later you may not be able to remember as well. Sit down and write down everything that you really, really like about this guy. Like, what are the things that you like the most about him?
Okay.
Those are clues to you about the nature of your heart. They have nothing to do with him, actually. But you can learn so much about your own heart right now, because it's been opened up. This Neptune period. It really wasn't him that opened it. It was the drug.
Yeah. I hear you.
So, you know, write down everything about this guy that just really, you really, really like. Because then you're going to have a little bit of a list of what's most important to your heart. Okay?
Okay.
All right, Aubrey. Thanks for calling tonight. And say hi to Judge.
I will. Thank you so much.
All right. Good luck. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, that was fun. She was our second Aries tonight. And we have another Aries on line 3 named Charlotte from North Carolina. Are you there, Charlotte?
Hello.
Hello, Hello, is this Charlotte?
Yes, I'm here.
And are you born April 11th also?
I am. I just nearly died when I heard her. When I heard the last, I just like, I almost blah in my pants when I heard that.
I wonder if you met a nice romantic man when you were 29 years old, just before your 30th birthday.
I was in the middle of a divorce. No, I just had my second child, and I got divorced soon after.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
But that's a long time ago.
Yeah, that's a long time.
I'm going to be 48 on my next birthday.
You are,
up.
Yes.
And I've been dating a Five of Clubs.
Ah!
When I heard that, I just died.
And when did you meet him, though?
A year ago, New Year's, the day before, December 30th.
So how's your experience been? Share with our listening audience and with Aubrey, what it's like to be with the Five of Clubs.
There are certain parts of him that are the most awesomest person that I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
But he is getting out of a 23-year relationship.
Is it a marriage?
And we live 400-600 miles away from each other.
Very
and
convenient.
When we get together, we have so much fun.
Uh-huh.
And then we go back to our lives.
Yeah.
And that doesn't seem to be ending. It doesn't seem to, it's not going to stray from that pattern.
Uh-huh.
Until probably I end it.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
But I have a big question for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I've been using your books for quite some time, maybe 8 years. Everybody that walks into my house finds out what card they are and what their compatibility is.
Uh-huh.
I drive people a little crazy with it.
Mm-hmm.
But one point in your compatibility chart, you say nothing, we don't put tens here. But for the Ten of Diamonds, you've got the Jack of Clubs as the ultimate partner.
Yeah, there's a couple. That was a little bit of a misprint. There are a couple of tens, yeah.
Is it a misprint, or is that?
Oh, the truth is, there are some tens. That part was a misprint where it says there's not any.
Right, because you know sometimes I feel like putting in a personal ad listing those birth dates. Every man that I meet, it's either a day before, a day after, Jack of Spades, Jack of Diamonds. But where's my Jack of Clubs?
Well, there's tons of them out there.
Well, I haven't met him yet.
Well, that's because you're so...
Boy, when I meet him...
Because you're all up with the five.
What?
You're all taken up with the Five of Clubs. You're already spoken for.
Well... one or two of them's got to get a divorce soon.
Listen, you let go of the Five of Clubs, and then you'll have room for somebody to show up in your life. Okay?
Like I said, we live 600 miles away from each other, and I am open.
Yeah, but you're not available. Do you think you're available? You're not. You're not available if you're dating. If you're having sex with somebody, I don't care how infrequent it is, you're not available. He's not available. He's still married.
Actually, he's not in a relationship with somebody.
You're not available either, and that's what you wanted for the past how many years? I don't know. That's been all
well,
you
I've
wanted.
Well, I've been... My husband and I split up 3.5 years ago, three of diamonds. How far opposite of the spectrum can we possibly get?
Well, but he's also a Queen of Diamonds karma card, which you're very compatible with. Queen of Diamonds
say
is
that,
all over.
Say that again?
He's also a Queen of Diamonds karma card.
Uh-huh.
And you're all over with the Queen of Diamonds. You're really compatible.
With the Three of Diamonds?
Yes, because of the Queen of Diamonds.
Well, it worked for a short time, but not very long. It was.
Well, see, the problem is that some of these men you're picking are not—they're not really able to commit to make a long-term committed relationship. They're just
that
not
is
capable
true.
Of it. See, it doesn't matter how compatible you are with somebody; it doesn't change their basic nature. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I wrote a whole article in one of my newsletters a couple years ago about how to use the cards to pick a relationship. And the first thing about it is the person available or not, number one? Because if they're not available at the guy you're dating now, that's a dead-end road right there to begin with. Dead-end. That's not going to be the relationship of your dreams. It never will be. It never can be. So you're wasting your time with that, okay? You're just doing, you're just basically, you know, taking a time out from a relationship, being with a person
right.
Like that, okay?
I mean, the Five of Clubs is fun when we see each other and we have
a great time. That's fine. A lot of men out there that would love to have fun with a woman, let's face it, okay? There's a lot of men that just want to have fun with women whenever they can.
Right.
Not really a relationship, though.
I want a relationship.
Okay, then you got to first give up the non-relationships that you're already having. Okay?
Yeah.
Because you're not available yet, and no, you're not going to attract anybody until you're really out there. You know, I was single, once when I was single, a beautiful woman that I was highly attracted to offered to have an affair with me. She was married, you know? And she said her husband was okay with it. I still wouldn't do it with her because she has nothing at risk.
Right.
You know? She's got a little safety cushion back there. I'm out there like, what am I going to do, fall in love with her?
And get your heart broken.
And then what? You know? I said, well, listen, if you ever break up with your husband, give me a call. I really think you're really attractive. I think we're really compatible. We could have a lot of fun. And I'm ready to go for it. But you got to get free first before I'm going to spend any time with you, because I'm not going to get interested in you and fall in love with you and then have you, like, say, oh, but I'm married. You know, I'm not
right.
interested. Now, a lot of guys might be, if I was a swinging type guy and if I was already married, I might want to date another married person, right? People that have affairs who are already married, then it's equal. You're both you're both in a relationship. Anyway,
right.
So you have been taking some time off, probably for the same reason that the last caller fell in love right away, because you got burnt.
I didn't fall in love right away. As a matter of fact, it was over 2 years.
No, but I'm not saying you fell in love right away. What I'm saying is the reason you're in this relationship that is a non-committal relationship is the same reason that the last girl did fall in love right away. It's because you got burnt in your last relationship.
Right. Hard.
That's the thing. See, the Ten of Diamonds has a Five of Hearts in Saturn. They have a difficult divorce. They have difficult breakups. And sometimes they check out for a while, and sometimes they do other things like you're doing. So...
I can quote what you say about the Ten of Diamonds pretty much.
You know what the biggest challenge for the Ten of Diamonds is?
Oh, please do tell.
And this is really important for all you Ten of Diamonds women out there. Your biggest challenge in life is being able to receive. You're great givers, but you don't know how to receive.
I'm learning.
So you put yourself in situations where men don't give to you. You
I'm learning.
Yeah. Well, good. Because that's what you're here to learn. That's what you're here to work to learn. Okay.
You know, a long time ago, a friend of mine took a yoga class, and she just said that the main thing that she learned it was a life yoga class, and she said, accept the gift.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm doing. I'm learning to accept
the gift. It comes down to really simple things, like people offering you things and you refusing it, you know. It shows up in little simple ways in life, but it really shows up in big ways in the relationship area where you end up with men who don't give because that's the one you handpicked. And turning you away from men who want to give you everything and who adore you.
That's what I want. I want to be adored.
Well, then you got to stop picking the ones that don't. This loser that you're with now is not offering you a crumb of bread, and you're being okay with it. That's how sick you are, okay? You're so sick that you're accepting crumbs of a relationship, not even 10% of a relationship. That's the sickness, okay? I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying it like it is.
Right.
If this is your capacity right now, what makes you think you're going to jump from this to a relationship where a man gives you everything? How are you going to make that leap? That's like a huge leap. That's like jumping across the Grand Canyon on a tricycle.
I'll do it. I think. Talk to me about my two, not one. Well,
show
two
me.
Two eight of hearts stuns.
First you show me getting rid of this piece of crap relationship you're in, and then I might be willing to entertain the thought that you might have a great relationship someday. But if I see you dating somebody who's unavailable, you're still in the toilet as far as I'm concerned. Okay? You're still
in
the gutter.
Tell me about my two eight of hearts sons.
Little tyrants?
Born on the same day.
Oh, my God.
August 31st. Not one, two. Oldest and youngest.
I bet they run you ragged.
My youngest one runs me ragged. My younger one loves to get in trouble and does everything to get in trouble, and my oldest one did everything in his power to not get in trouble. They're so polar opposites, but yet there's little subtle things of the Eight of Hearts that are similar.
Yeah.
The picky eater thing, the karma thing, that their karma comes on them really quickly.
Well, you know, they're here to learn about the power of charm and love. You know, that's their lesson. And they start off from the earliest age, you know, using it on people.
Oh, yeah. They're both charmers.
I was in an airplane once flying, you know, cross country, and there was a mother and a woman and her mother in the seat in front of me with a young kid. He was about 2 years old, right? And this little kid was screaming his head off every time anything didn't go exactly his way. He would start screaming so loud, the entire plane wanted, please give the kid what he wants. I knew he had to be an Eight of Hearts. So I asked the woman what her kid's birthday was. Eight of Hearts.
Yep. They will scream. They're little tyrants.
Petty tyrants, yep. That's what they are.
Yeah.
And see, they're never going to grow up because they're hearts. And they have a power of love and healing. They can be healers, and they can love. But they're here to learn how to use that power without abusing it.
Right.
And they're going to abuse it a lot before they learn the lesson. You can count on it. We all do.
to a certain extent. My other son is born 2 minutes to Elvis's birthday, so you guys were talking about the eight of spades?
Yeah,
Well, I have a seven of spades.
Who's
he
the seven of
spades? Almost born at Elvis's birthday.
Who is?
My son, my other son.
Oh, you have a seven of spades?
Yes.
Cool. Well, yeah, his life will be much different, though, being one day off like that. Now, you know, you ought to check, though, because he might actually be the other card, you know.
He's not. It was very clearly 11:58 p.m.
Yeah, but where was he born?
Here in California, in Fortuna.
Fortuna? Yeah, it's probably still the same, but the longitude of the location of birth also has a factor in the whole thing. Because the cards work on what's called sundial time, what the real time was. Not what the observed time was, necessarily. So, but I think in California, pretty much anywhere, it's only maybe a difference of a few minutes. So,
right.
He's probably the same card. He's probably seven of spades. Well, Charlotte, thanks for calling tonight. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. This is your emails all the time. This is the first time I've actually been in my office so I could hook into it.
Oh, great. Well, we're glad to have you, and please feel free to call in again.
I will.
And thanks again for calling.
Take care. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, well, we normally I take a little break here. I think, well, let's see, we have Fatima back on the phone, though. Let's put her on and see what she's up to. Fatima, are you there?
Okay, yeah.
What brings you back?
Well, because the first time I was so embarrassed about, you know, my heart issues. I didn't want to talk about it at first, but...
You mean your love life?
Yeah, my love life is embarrassing.
Yeah, what's embarrassing about it? Must be something juicy. Must be something juicy.
This is going to be juicy, so hold your horses. This is like, I don't know, it's crazy. When I was 23, which was a long time ago last year, and in my Neptune, no, it wasn't 23, no, 22, before I turned 23, my Neptune card was the Ace of Spades. And I had a baby by this person. Well, I got pregnant, you know, in my Neptune. And I just really, you know, really fell for this guy, you know. He was just like everything. But then he decided when I was 2 months, he told me to get an abortion. But I decided I wanted to keep my son, and so he disappeared. But he was just like, you know, it really hurt because he didn't give me any closure at all. You know, his last things to me was, I love you, I want to be a father. You know, but his playing fair ruling card is the Five of Spades. So me, I'm like, okay, well, you know, karma's going to get him, so I'm not going to bother him. I'm not going to, you know, chase after him or whatever. But the whole 9 months that I was pregnant with my son, it was like, it was crazy. I mean, I went through so many emotional things, and I just think, well, you know, I felt like that was my punishment, you know, because I had did the bad thing. I was out, you know, just, I was dating him and I was having fun, and of course I wasn't married to him, so I shouldn't have been doing some of the things we didn't do. So of course being pregnant was a big punishment, so I accepted being pregnant, and then so God wouldn't punish me, of course. And then so I have my baby, and he's a 3 of clubs, and he's just like the perfect baby. He's like so good. And 3 of clubs is a writer's card, so I decided, okay, I'll be a writer. That this must be a sign or something. And then, okay, well, there's a turn in this story, too. But, so he came, he's here, he's happy, he's sleeping right now. And, let me see.
What's your question?
My best friend. Huh?
What's your question,
Fatima? You have a question?
You have a question?
Oh, no, you?
No, I'm asking you if you have a question for me. Or are you just sharing your experiences, or what?
Yeah, I do have a question. I'm getting there.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
My best friend is a King of Club, right? And I'm his Neptune card. And, you know, he helps take care of my baby and everything. And then now he's in his, this year, I'm his Neptune card. And, you know, he's going through, you know, this whole Neptune thing. And it's, I don't know. I like him, but... You know, and I care about him, and I love him and everything, but it's funny.
Birthday is he?
He's June 17th, 1977. He's a King of Clubs, Jack of Diamonds.
Okay.
And
sure.
I'm his Neptune card for his life spread.
You're his Neptune card.
So, now, is it different? It's not a 52-day process for him, you know, fall in that period.
This is a man that will always adore you. You understand?
Okay. Am I going to be punished for this in another lifetime, though? If I don't care about him the same way?
No. No, you'll be punished if you lie to him, though.
Right.
Or if you lie to yourself.
Well, I did lie to myself. I withheld a lot of information while I was pregnant about the Ace of Spades, you know. Because our prides in this household is like tremendous or whatever, humongous, it's like, we didn't want to say, I never can say like, if I fall in love, then that makes me look like I'm weak or something. So I denied the whole I was in love with him. And then just recently I just told him that, okay, maybe I was in love with him, and it kind of really hurt him, you know, to just finally find out that way that, yeah, she was really in love with him. And
well, the bottom line is this, Fatima. You're not in love with this guy, this King of Clubs.
Right.
He is, He is in love with you, but you're not in love with him.
Right.
That's the real truth, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the real truth.
So what are you doing? What are you doing not being honest with this guy?
I withhold information? Like,
no, why? Why aren't you telling him? You need to tell, look him straight in the eye and said, you know, I'm just not into you.
But that's what I mean.
You know, I'm just not really into you because you didn't abuse me as much as my other guy did. I need a man that treats me like crap.
No, I don't.
I think you do.
Why do you think that?
That's the one you fell in love with.
Well, but he didn't treat me like crap when we were together.
He sure did. As soon as you got pregnant, he left you. He's
right,
out of there.
And then that's when it was over. I didn't, you know, like, he treated me like crap.
And has he supported you at all with the baby or anything?
No, we still haven't seen
at
all.
That's not love. That's not.
I know. Fair. I know it's not love. I realized it was Neptune. And
well, it was Neptune for you, but it doesn't give him an excuse to do what he did.
Right.
It still makes him a scoundrel, and not
right.
a very nice person, and certainly not somebody who loved you or cared for you.
Right. And I realized that, and it hurt, but I didn't want to, you know, express that to anybody.
A lot of us are only interested in people that treat us badly. If somebody treats us good, we're not interested.
Right.
We're just not.
But,
you know, there's a book, there's several books on, I used to read books when I was single about how to pick up women. And one of the things they all tell you is you got to treat them like crap or they won't spot with you.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
So
but I appreciate him, you know.
You don't like him. So.
Not in love like that. But I he's been my best friend for 4 years, so I really do care about him.
Yeah, but see, he wants more than that. He doesn't want to be your best friend.
And you think this is going to be like forever? I mean, like spiritually, can we together be friends? Like, cause I don't want it to mess up like our friendship, you know, that... Okay, we can't be boyfriend and girlfriend, but can we be best friends? Or do you think, like,
okay, let me ask you a question. If you were really in love with a guy and he just wanted to be friends with you, would you be able to be just friends with him?
Honestly?
Yeah, honestly.
I don't think so.
No, you wouldn't.
I want
to. Because your heart, it would hurt you too much to be around him.
Right.
Because you want so much more. You understand?
So, like, there's no way to just kind of be, like, best friends
you
with
be friends. The only way we can be friends with somebody is if we don't want that much from them. You know what I mean?
Right.
If somebody's really special in your life, if you really think they're the one for you, you could never be friends with them. Because your desires for being with them and to have want with them are too strong. So there's really only one solution when that gets to that point, and that is just not to see each other anymore. At all.
Like in the friendship?
Yeah, you have to end it because it's not really a friendship. It's not really truly a friendship. Because it's based on him wanting you to be with him. He wants you to be his woman.
Right.
Don't you understand that?
Yeah, I understand it, but
he's
not so harsh.
He's not looking for friendship. Not looking for friendship.
He might have
been friends with you for a while, but I think it's going to get to... It's going to come to a point where you either got to just be with him or you guys got to break up completely because he still wants something from you a lot.
This
is not rocket science we're talking about here. Okay?
It would seem like he just fell in love like last year and, you know, we've been best friends before that, you know.
Yeah, I know, but once you cross that threshold, once his heart was given to you, you got to understand, you can't go back. Can't go back to a friendship. I'm just telling you, you can do whatever you want. I'm telling you, this is how it is. And you, if you ask him, he'll tell you the same thing. You ask him.
It's hard because, whenever I left, wherever I was at, out of all my homes and stuff, and this is where I settled down, his parents have, adopted me, and I'm staying here until I can, do better. But, and he's here, too. And so it's not as easy to just leave. And, I felt that really, really strongly at the beginning of this year. I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to have to leave. I'm going to have to get my own place because of this. And then, but it's not that easy.
Yeah, well, you'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. You'll do the right thing.
Huh?
We're not worried about you. You'll do the right thing.
Think so. But I don't want to just leave and it really, really hurt somebody and then I'm responsible for it and
You're not responsible. We're not responsible when somebody else has developed an attachment to us. It's not our responsibility. Really. We are scot-free on that regard.
Right.
Because they formed the attachment. It was their choice. You understand?
Right.
If somebody just came up to you out of a crowd of people and said, please, please, you must give me $10,000. If you don't, I'm going to be really hurt.
Well, he doesn't do it it's just like he doesn't say things like that or there's no pressure, physically or verbally. It's like emotionally, it's like really, really intense. Like I know how he feels, I guess, because I've been there. And then, it's just...
All right.
That's the part that...
Well, you're still young. You have a lot to learn.
Right.
This teaches you a lot. So you can't make any mistakes. It's all going to be good.
Okay.
I'm going to have to let you go now, dear.
Okay. Thanks for
talking. Thanks for calling back. Good to hear your voice.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, we have two more calls, so we're going to go ahead and take them really quick if they're still on the line. Is Kelly here?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, there you are.
Get through?
Yes, you did, finally.
Finally! I think I got skipped over. So.
Yeah. We're going to have to get on Seth's case about that.
Yeah, and this is a very important question because I lost my job a week and a half ago.
You lost your job?
Yes.
Oh, good for you.
It was a good thing, but I've been looking for a new job for the past 3 months, and nothing has come up. And so there's a little bit of panic because I don't have, I have a lot of money saved up, but I just don't know when I'm going to get another job.
One thing you got to keep in mind is that there's never things that just happen for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
You just didn't lose your job just for nothing, for no reason. This is something about you and your life. It has a purpose for you on some level.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the purpose involves something better for you somewhere.
Yeah, but I just don't know how long I'm going to have to wait because this is the fourth job that I've lost.
Yeah.
And I've been out of work at times for 3 months, 4 months, 5 months.
Yeah. So you're in the worst period of the year right now. It ends in a couple days.
Yeah.
Things will lighten up here in a week or so, and your influences will change too. And you're much more likely to get a job after March 26th.
In a couple days. Well, enough.
Yeah.
Sure. I did have two. Opportunities for jobs, but I'm extremely intuitive, and I knew not to take them, so I turned them down.
That's good.
But in the same time, in the back of my head is like, I have to keep working, so I want to work, and I need to, I paid for my, I support myself, so.
Well, you can decide when it gets to that point where you just got to take a job. You can make that decision.
Yeah.
You'll know when that time.
But I haven't gotten any more opportunities. That was just two that happened a month ago.
Yeah.
But I could not listen to my intuition because I've always made decisions my whole life based off of that. So as much as I wanted a job, I just knew it wasn't right.
Yeah, that's good.
So,
you're doing the right thing. See, you're absolutely doing the right thing, and you're going to be rewarded for that. but you're going to have to be a little patient. The timing is not what you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing uncertainty, and you're a Cancer, right?
Yep.
And Cancers are always worried about shit.
Yeah. Well, my rising is sad, so I'm very optimistic, though.
Yeah, but you can't help but be a Cancer.
Yeah.
I don't care what your rising is. You're still a little worrywart.
That's true.
I am, too. I'm a Cancer. I'm July 3rd. I worry
about... Oh, you are?
Yeah, I worry all the time.
I just basically, but I just worry about paying for myself. That's pretty much the only thing I worry about. Just
worry about money,
love,
food,
yeah.
You know, the basics. Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so just relax a little bit. You said you've got money saved up. Just chill out.
But do you think that like the Uranus period will be a good time?
You
know,
for
a job to possibly come up?
To me,
you know,
like
I can't sit around for like 2 and 3 months. I'm going to go crazy.
Well, what was good about this job ending? What was the good part?
Oh, my gosh. It was very extremely spiritual because the job itself intellectually was so easy for me. I'd been there for 2.5 years, and I've been wanting to leave for a while, but it's just like I still don't know my path yet. So I wanted to leave and find something new, but I just never know what that is.
Uh-huh. Well, see, this is an opportunity for you to find out what you really want to do. So what are you doing? I mean, why aren't you out finding out what you really love and want to do?
I don't know, because it doesn't work out.
What doesn't work out?
I don't know. Just my job in general. I'm actually a nurse, and so, but I haven't done nursing in years, and every time I try to get a nursing job, I get rejected, so I just feel like it's not my path.
I'm not talking about your job. I'm talking about your life's purpose. Like, what are you here for? What kind of contribution do you really want to make in people's lives before you die?
Mm-hmm.
See, this
I don't
is
know
an
what that's supposed to be yet.
This is an opportunity for you to take some time and explore what you really want to do. You know, otherwise you're going to end up in another situation with something you're not really sure if it's what you really want to do, and it'll just basically be doomed to have a certain lifespan, which who knows how long that'll be, but it's going to end up ending because it's not really your work. But what
how do you, you know, figure that out, though? Because I can't read myself.
You got to make it a priority. You got to decide that this is what you need to do. You got to get really clear that what you need to do is find what your life's work is, your purpose. And you got to start making that like the topic of your mind's conversation, you know. This is what I'm doing right now. I'm searching for what is my
I've been doing that for like 10 years, though. And I've had so many different jobs.
But see, you might say that right now, but I didn't hear you say that when you first called. I didn't hear any mention of that in your voice.
Oh, that I don't know what I want to do, or?
Oh, that you're looking.
Oh, that I'm looking.
Yeah, you didn't mention that. I'm really looking for my life's purpose. I really want to get into what's really right for me. I didn't hear any of that stuff.
I think it's because I've sort of given up on it, because I've been looking. Since 10 years ago, I've been like...
Oh, well, if you've given up, then it's over. You're not going to... Give up that, you give up pretty easy.
No, I actually don't, but...
I didn't find my life's work till I was my mid-30s. And I searched and searched and searched. And I did all kinds of jobs, and I did them all well, but I knew they weren't the one.
Yeah, that's how... I mean, I've had probably 10 to 12 jobs in the past 7 years. And, you know, it's more of like, it's just sort of like a paycheck. Like, I have to support myself, but I don't, you know, it doesn't really feel right to me.
You have to keep searching. You have to keep asking the question. You have to, you know, you have to know. You have to be really clear with yourself. This isn't it, but I'm here because I have to do something, but I'm still looking. And you lost this job because it wasn't really right for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So you've been given, like, an opportunity here to look again.
And I have been. You know, I mean, I've been looking really hard since December.
Oh, Okay, well, just relax a little bit. I think something's going to come to you in your Uranus period. And it'll be something that you have to take a risk on to make it work. It'll be risky.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be exciting because it's really for you and not for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a job. Okay?
Yeah.
Just hang in there for 4 weeks and watch what happens.
Okay. Could I ask another question? Or
when the opportunity comes, take it. No, I actually don't have time because I have one more listener that wants to talk to me. But I can. If you want to call next week, I'll be happy to answer your other question.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Kelly. Good night. Thanks for being patient.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, without further ado, we're going to put Helen from Virginia on if she's still here. Are you there, Helen?
I am. I am still here.
It's so late out there.
Yes, it is. But I'm often up late. So, I welcome that email that comes in, and for some reason today I actually read it before your show.
Oh.
So it's good.
Oh, good. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
And you're a Gemini.
Yes.
Born June 8th, 1943.
Yes.
And what's on your mind this evening?
Well, it's kind of a year and a half ago, my life took a 180-degree turn from where I thought it was headed, and now I'm not sure exactly where it's headed now. I'm in love with someone who is made of hearts, Virgo.
Mm-hmm.
And someone else who's the Seven of Diamonds, Aquarius, declares their undying love for me, and I don't think straight. That one drives me nuts. But I find myself suddenly surrounded by various people that I meet or am friends with that are Virgos, and I've just started a new job with a longtime friend who is a Virgo. And it's a different life path, and I'm kind of wondering if I want to get married, but I'm thinking maybe that's not in the cards for me right now.
Well, you know, it's going to be your choice regardless. Isn't it nice to have at least two guys clamoring for your attention?
Well, one clamors more than the other, but the one that I want to clamor doesn't clamor as much.
But we never like the one that likes us as much. Because them liking, we figure that if they like us that much, there must be something wrong with them. God, if he likes me, he must be something bad wrong with him.
Well, of course, when I read his card, I went, oh, I've been with him for a year, and he, I think he was a player in the past. He's 72 now, so I think he's gone through.
The State of Hearts guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was definitely a player. And he's too old now to play, so he just wants somebody to settle down with.
And he's been single since 1981. So.
Wow, he's pretty committed to that single life.
That's what I'm wondering, if that's even a possibility. The other
but,
one
you know, I have seen a pattern that men who are players, even when they get older, they just want to get one woman and settle down. Because they realize they can't play anymore. They're too old to play.
Okay.
Well, it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
So who's the one that you like the most, Ada Hearts?
Yeah, definitely. We're very compatible.
But he's also your Neptune card. He's one of your Neptune cards, you know.
Yeah, I tried to figure that out as I...
So him being Neptune to you means that you really can't see him accurately.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of people tonight calling with Neptune people.
Yeah.
For some reason, I don't know why.
Yeah, I think I see him with rose-colored glasses. Very
absolutely,
much so.
But you know, Neptune is okay. It can be okay as long as there's no deception. Now, see, because if I'm your Neptune card, you just adore me. And I know I got some power over you.
Right.
I know that you have no idea who I really am.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I know that you adore me no matter what, so I have some power over you, and I can use that, and I can abuse that if I want to.
Right.
So it depends on the maturity of the person.
Okay.
But, you know, you like being with Neptune people because they make you feel good.
Yeah.
They're like taking drugs. They're really, they're fun to be with.
that's so accurate. It's just it's scary.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to say no to a Neptune person because we like the way we feel when we're around them.
Absolutely.
You know? And so, you know, giving them up is not even an option sometimes. And, you know, an Eight of Hearts knows they have that power. They have that power over everybody when they're younger. They can make anybody, can charm their way into anybody, you know, when they're younger.
Right.
Yeah, because they're just so good at it. But him being your Neptune card gives them an added measure of hypnotic ability with you. Okay?
Right. And I was married for 26 and a half years.
Neptune can be okay if the person is trustworthy. That's the only question here is whether this man is actually is trustworthy or not, or if he's learned anything, if he's matured at all, or if he's still just a player. That's the question.
Okay. Well, I think he is.
So you have a Three of Hearts retirement this year, so you're enjoying the pleasures of two men at the same time.
It's funny.
Got yourself a little harem going there.
And that's, purpose.
That's going to change on your birthday, you know.
Oh, okay. What's going to happen?
I don't know. I don't know.
Am I going to eliminate one of those?
Why don't you offer to marry both of them? You guys can all live together. It's three of you. Try that out. That might work.
I don't think the two guys would like that too well.
Give them a shot. They might go for it. You never know. We're really funny birds, you know. We're kind of strange. We'll do stuff that people think is crazy. You really will. You'd be amazed. You'll never know if you don't ask. Do they both know about each other that you're
no,
dating?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, you shame on you, shame on you.
Well, one of them I date and I've been with for a year. The other one I don't date at all. I talk to occasionally because it's been a long time. Very long time that I've known him.
Oh, you're only dating one of them.
Right, right.
Oh,
and the other one is just—he just tries to make me feel guilty because I won't go out with him. And he declares his undying love. He would give me anything or anything.
That's the Seven of Diamonds.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Don't let him fool you. He's a little nutcase too.
Okay.
He's got his own issues. I mean, they are very committed to relationship in a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he's very controlling.
Well, they're very...
They're clear of.
Yeah, they're fixed. So, you know, they don't... They... Well, it's... Sorry. But they can be a little weird sometimes.
Yeah.
No, I'm seriously... They can be seriously weird. They can have weird sexual stuff. You just don't know until you get to know them a little better what's under the hood.
Yeah, and I don't really think I'm that. I get the weird thing from him to the point that I don't think I want to go any further with it.
Well, you have a past life Venus connection with him so that he can feel it, and that is that you two were together before, and there is love there between you. Totally.
Yeah, but I think we're more as a father figure than him.
I tell you, men hate that. Tell them that.
Do what?
You want to get rid of him real quick, just say, you know, I really feel like you're my brother. We just hate that. That'll get rid of a guy real quick.
Okay. I told him I loved him like a father. It didn't make any difference.
Yeah, you know, like, I can't ever see myself dating you. You're like my dad. That's funny. Anyway, I don't know. I don't see you settling down with one for a while, so just relax and take your time.
Okay.
You might get married by the end of your next year.
The new job is taking me in a very healing direction. I'm now working for a two of diamonds Virgo who owns her own massage therapeutic place and is encouraging me to finish my Reiki master's and do that and possibly get my massage license. And I'm wondering if maybe that's where my path has been leading.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that. I think that's a good thing. Definitely. Why don't you?
Okay.
It's a giving profession. That would be good for you.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you really can't lose much by trying it.
Yeah,
you need to try and see if you love it or not, you know?
Well, yeah. Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
You know, it's like if we really love something, if it has meaning to us, then it's the right thing.
Right.
You don't know that until you actually get in there and give it a whirl.
Okay.
So why don't you go ahead and experiment with that and see how it goes?
Okay. All right.
Yeah. That would do.
All right.
Oh, well, thanks for being patient tonight, Helen. It was great having you.
Thank you for talking to me. I just can't figure out why I never knew any Virgos, and suddenly I know all these Virgos.
You know, Virgos are not supposed to be compatible with Geminis.
That's what I thought. Now they're all my friends.
But they do share a strong mental disposition together, so.
Okay,
you know.
That's it.
And anything can be good, actually, so.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Helen.
Thank you. We'll let you go now.
Call again if you like.
Thank you.
All right, good night. You're welcome. All right, that ends our show tonight, and we are going to end with our favorite song, which is called Gayatri, which should just put all you guys on the East Coast out to sleep. Okay, it's a nice, relaxing, mellow chant. This is Robert Lee Camp. We'll see you next week, same time, same place. See you then.
सवितुर्वरेण्यम् भार्गो देवस्य धीमहि देयो यो न प्रचोदयात् ॐ भूर्भुवः स्वाहा तत्सवितुर्वरेण्यम् भार्गो देवस्य धीमहि देयो यो न प्रचोदया ॐ भूर्भुवः स्वाहा तत्सवितुर्वरेण्यम् भार्गो देवस्य धीमहि देयो यो न प्रचोदया ॐ भूर्भुवः सवितुर्वरेण्यम् भार्गो देवस्य धीमहि देयो यो न प्रचोदयात् ॐ भूर्भुवः स्वाहा तत्सवितुर्वरेण्यम् भार्गो देवस्य धीमहि देयो यो न प्रचोदयात् ॐ भूर्भुवः स्वाहा तत्सवितुर्वरेण्यम् भार्गो देवस्य धीमहि देयो यो न प्रचोदयात् Thank you.
Savitur-variyam Bhargo-devasya dhimahi Deyo-yonat-chodaya Om Bhur-bhuva Svaha-tat-savitur-variyam Bhargo-devasya dhimahi Deyo-yonat-chodaya
Deyo yonat prachodayam.